Hello everyone, thanks for joining us. Matt Bushby here, Global Head of Distribution for Rare Infrastructure. Sitting with me is co-founder and senior portfolio manager at Rare, Nick Langley. Today it's the 10th of March 2020 in Sydney, so we're talking after the sharp sell-off in markets that everyone saw around the world on the 9th of March. Nick, first off, thanks for joining me. We thought it was really important to be talking directly to our clients in this podcast format due to the extreme volatility in the markets. Can you just put it in your own words, kind of what's happening?
Agreed. It's an important time to catch up, so thank you. Listen, we've had a very sharp sell-off, and that's sharp as in, we've seen some limit down days in markets. It's also sharp in terms of the time frame with which it's happened. And so, you know, the market really has been quite blindsided by COVID-19, first of all, and most recently, the moves in the oil market. So, I think what's going on here is we're coming off elevated levels in equity markets around the globe. The market generally had been getting a lot more confident in the growth outlook for 2020. And, that was on the back of if you go back to Q3 of last year and into early Q4, there were some real concerns for the US. And if you've listened to our earlier podcast, you will have heard us say that, we thought that the market was pricing in about a 40% chance of a recession in the US in 2020. That was at the back of end of Q3 last year. That dropped down to almost zero by the end of the year. So everybody was feeling pretty good about the world, and then obviously that's turned on a dime again. So broadly, the concerns are: will COVID-19 and the spread of that impact economies? What will the impact be on earnings? And the answer to those two questions is quite dependent on what governments do and just how long this goes on for, whether governments shut down businesses, schools, and so on. And that's, we think, certainly overnight the market started to price that quite aggressively, which is why we saw the big sell-off. So there is potential for recession in the US this year. There's potential for a global recession this year if economic activity really comes to a standstill. So what's been interesting then about infrastructure in this market, year to date, global equities are off 15. Our value strategy is off about 10. And our income strategy is off about 5. Now, that's what you would expect infrastructure to do. Obviously, over a shorter period of time, in the course of the last week or so, the correlations tend to go to 1 in those very short trading days. But we would expect over the course of this month, we'll see that defensiveness of infrastructure come through. So, we'll be down this quarter, no doubt, but we do expect a much better outcome than global equities generally.
What do you put the difference between value at down 10, income down 5? What's sort of driving that difference?
Value is a balanced strategy. It looks for a balance between income and capital growth over rolling 5-year periods, whereas income really is focused on delivering 5+% annualized dividend yield, and as a result tends to be much more conservatively or defensively positioned, so higher utility exposures around the globe. So think of income as that defensive strategy. Value is a bit more balanced, and so it will take a bit more exposure to the growth elements of infrastructure, the toll roads, the airports, the rail and ports, and so on. Right now, value is relatively conservatively positioned, but it does carry more of that user pays exposure than income, very much at the defensive end.
And that, I guess, that slightly more defensive positioning, value via its history would, I guess, explain the slight outperformance versus the infrastructure indices as well.
Certainly right. We've been cognizant that we're getting later in the cycle. And so, when we think about portfolio construction for both value and income, but certainly for value, we recognize that we need to have more defense in the portfolio. And where we do have, a bit of that user pays or that beta exposure, we're pretty careful about picking high quality names like Transurban locally. And that's held up pretty well through this time period.
Probably a good segue into looking at the sectors or even subsectors that we have within the portfolios. Are there, we've seen, guess the energy sector get hit very hard overnight. We might come back to that one in a second, but broadly speaking, have there been sort of movements as expected? Have there been any surprises? What are we seeing in the movements between the various subsectors?
What's worth introducing here is a little bit of context as to what's going on in markets at the moment. So we did see quite a number of the hedge funds kind of lever up through February, exactly the wrong timing. And they have been, quite aggressive marginal buyers, and that perhaps led to the peak in February. Of course, all of that has unwound quite quickly. And now as that unwound, they were getting margin calls, and so they were selling the defense in their portfolios, and a lot of that was centered around gold. So actually first week of March, when all this blew up, gold was off on the week, and that was pretty extraordinary. That shouldn't have happened. And it was the hedgies in particular, selling down their gold exposures to cover some of their margins, and also utilities. So, initially the utilities sold off. They've actually recovered quite nicely. Yes, they were down a little last night, but not nearly, anything like the market. So we've seen kind of an unwind of a number of positions. So a lot of technicals in the trading. Broadly, we've seen utilities, when I look over the time period, dip, come back, so they've held up well. The towers companies have also held up well. They're in a lot of the REIT indices and so on now. A number of the smaller utilities have kind of underperformed their better quality peers. And then you've got, rail companies, airports and so on, which have sold off kind of to a mid-level, double-digit drops. And then, most recently, the pipelines have been caught up with the oil and the energy sell-off.
Can we just touch on that pipelines comment a little bit further? One of the hallmarks of RARE is the definition of our own investable universe. We screen out companies that are explicitly exposed to commodity prices. Why have we seen the companies, the pipeline companies especially, sell off so hard?
Broadly, what has happened is the concerns around growth globally have resulted in a view that as economic growth is going to slow, then the demand for oil is going to slow, and therefore the oil price was dropping. OPEC got together to talk about their production levels, and they've been constraining their production to try and keep oil prices a little higher. And the relationship between OPEC and Russia, who actually sits outside of OPEC but has been constraining their production as well, that all broke down. And so basically from an OPEC perspective and a production perspective, all bets are off. They're going to flood the market with oil at a time when demand is coming back. And so we've seen the oil price drop. And it dropped 30% yesterday, and it probably continue to go a little further. Now, the pipeline companies don't have direct exposure to commodity prices, but a lot of their customers do. And so in this kind of panic in the market, the market's a little worried about some of the customers of the pipeline companies and the potential for them to need refinancing or even bankruptcy protection or something like that in the US, which would interrupt potential revenue streams and will certainly interrupt forward growth projections, which obviously goes to the multiples that these stocks will trade on.
How much work do we do on the underlying customer base of the pipelines that we own?
The short answer, and excuse my language, is a hell of a lot. So we've been through this before in 2015. We bear the scars, we learn some lessons. And so we do a lot of work now on the credit profile of the customers for each of our pipeline companies and understand how much of their EBITDA is at risk. And when you look at guys like Kinder Morgan and Williams, that Williams is in the portfolio today, Kinder Morgan's been in the portfolio recently, that we're talking 3-4% of their EBITDA. So it's not a significant amount. But in these sorts of environments, everything gets sold down. Now, the other point, and it's more of a technical trading point to recognize, is in the US, a lot of the institutional owners of these pipeline companies are leveraged funds. And so once you get a sell-off happening, it becomes self-perpetuating because they get margin calls. They've got to sell more stock to cover those margin calls and delever their funds. And so you tend to get quite a significant turnover in the market within a short space of time. And, you know, we've obviously seen that yesterday. We may see that over the next couple of days as well.
You touched on a couple of sort of comments in that section on, you know, credit quality and so forth. One of the, I guess, the things that people look at infrastructure and utilities, and so they're sometimes more highly geared than your typical industrial type company. Are we seeing any evidence of credit stress amongst the broader portfolio?
The short answer is no across the broader portfolio. Obviously, pipelines, we've made some comments there. There are some concerns around their customers. But regulators are quite prescriptive as to how much debt these companies should have. And they recognise that in the allowed returns. So, you know, UK water sector example, currently the regulator expects the companies to have 60% debt against their asset base. In the US, it's anywhere from 45% up to 55%. And the regulators say, you know, if you move too far away from that, then I'm actually going to change your allowed return. So I want you, company, to have an optimised balance sheet to help keep your cost of capital down, to help keep the consumer bills down.
So in the listed space, at least, we haven't seen, you know, a leveraging up of these companies over time?
No, we haven't. You know, in the unlisted world, they're famous for kind of double levels of leverage and all the rest of it. We don't see that in the listed space. We track that right across the portfolio. And, you know, as we sit today, the level of leverage or gearing in the portfolio companies, weighted average is, you know, about 38%. Net debt to total capitalization. So, you know, pretty conservative at the end of the day. And the regulators, as I say, they're prescriptive about how much debt these companies should have. And they set aside a certain amount of revenue to cover the debt component of the capital structure.
Big question, I guess, with the portfolios, you know, in this kind of volatile market, what have we been doing in terms of, you know, positioning changes within the portfolios?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first step is not to panic and to kind of step back and wrap a cool towel around the head. The approach that we've taken is, let's be clear, we assume from the majority of our clients, they want us to be fully invested. And so we generally run less than 5% cash. So what we have done is taken the opportunity to, particularly with the sharp sell-off in the utilities at the beginning of this process, to actually sell some of the names that had held up well, some of the Canadian utilities in particular, and trade into some of the US names that the hedge funds and the others were selling pretty sharply. So we've done some great trades there. And that's about increasing the quality of the defensive exposures in the portfolio. And that was really a last week deal. We got all that trading out of the way. Overnight, we've seen some further falls, and we may well see further drops in some of the more economically exposed rail companies and so on. We're not ready to buy them yet, but if we saw another big sell-off, then we'd be in a position where, you know, tactically and for the value strategy, this might be 5% of the portfolio. Tactically, we could see some selling of the more defensive utilities to pick up some very cheap cyclical stocks, but ones that have been beaten up really badly in the market. So, you know, our view is that's the kind of next stage to come. So to recap, to date, we've been trading out of some of the names that have held up well to buy quality that has sold off. And next stage would be tactically to get a little bit more exposure to some of those cyclical names.
And that's a common across the value and the income strategies?
Yes, income to a greater degree in terms of trading in amongst the utilities, and that's because it has a much higher exposure. So you know, we've done a little bit more work there.
What are we saying about liquidity in the market?
So because infrastructure is at the more defensive end of markets, when we get these periods of volatility, we see an outsized increase in the liquidity amongst the infrastructure stocks. So when you look at the trading, say, of last week versus earlier in February, the general market, liquidity in the general market is up about two-thirds, 66%. And on the infrastructure side is up about 75% across the names in our portfolio. So we have seen, you know, our size increase in the liquidity, and really that's centered around obviously the larger capitalization companies. But certainly from an infrastructure perspective, we get an increase of liquidity during these periods of volatility.
What's the outlook for the future? It's been, you know, as you mentioned up front, it's been a very short, sharp move based on a sort of a couple of external variables. What's our gut feel of what's going to happen from now? What are we looking for in terms of that next move in portfolios, as you mentioned?
From a market perspective, we've obviously had a recalibration of expectations. Over, and that's occurred within a very short period of time, and that's given the given rise to the precipitous drop in markets. As to what happens from here, there's a broad range of scenarios that could roll forward, and a lot of that centres around what decisions governments make in terms of closing down schools, closing down businesses, and the implications that that might have for industrial production, for services businesses like restaurants and so on. And broadly, the governments are trying to spread the peak of the infections in this pandemic to reduce the strain on the medical facilities. But by doing that, you're balancing damage to the economy. And so, you know, for us capitalists and markets, we'd like to get it over as quickly as possible. So let's get everybody sick, we'll recover, and then move on. Whereas, you know, really to you know, health and well-being of citizens, we need to spread that peak as much as we can. So it does depend kind of how long everything gets shut down for. Our view is markets pretty close to pricing in a recession, certainly in the US this year. Arguably, that's a bit of an overreaction, and given what we know at this point in time.
Nick Langley, thanks very much for joining us today. We will be back recording these podcasts regularly during this volatile period. If you'd like to have any more information, please contact your local sales representative.